It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Leviticus, we are teaching today on Jesus Christ and the Jewish feasts. These Jewish feasts are found in the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures in detail, primarily in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, the book of Numbers chapter 29, and the book of Leviticus chapter 23. These Jewish feasts consist of seven feasts over a seven-month period. These Jewish feasts are celebrations unto the Lord by the nation of Israel for the great exploits and the great events that were done by the Lord on behalf of the children of Israel. Great deliverances, great harvests, great signs and wonders throughout the scriptures, deliverance on behalf of the children of Israel. These Jewish feasts have also a historical perspective in terms that the Jewish feasts are a memorial to always remember how God intervened in the lives of those of the nation of Israel and how God preserved the nation of Israel through times of crises, through times of servitude, through times of famine, and through times of great hardship. These feasts also point to the key events in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These feasts are not only historical in reference, but they are prophetic in reference. And these feasts are accurate in their prophetic implications, and they are celebratory in their historical implications. The word feast in the Hebrew means moedim, and it literally means appointed times. As a result, these feasts are more than just celebrations for the great exploits of God intervening on behalf of the children of Israel, as a memorial, as a celebration, as great points in time that were handed down throughout the generations in the children of Israel. But these feasts are also pointing to the prophetic events that will happen by the Messiah, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that the individuals in the scriptures looked forward by faith to the Messiah to come, and were doing great exploits by faith. Scripture teaches that in Hebrews chapter 10, these same individuals understood that they were not redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Christ. As a result, they were accustomed to look forward to the Messiah to come, and these great feasts point to the great key events in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. With the same faith, we look back on the cross, back to the deliverer, and back to the Messiah. The Old Testament saints looked forward to the cross, forward to the deliverer, forward to the Messiah. These feasts are also not mandatory for the Christian to celebrate, as Scripture teaches in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Once again, scripture teaching that it is not a requirement to celebrate these Jewish feasts, for they were a prophetic message for things to come. These Jewish feasts also are not mandatory because under the law, there was the ceremonial law and there was the moral law. In the scriptures, we as Christians are required to keep the moral law. This is the justice and judgment and righteousness of the scriptures, which is evident in a lifestyle that's pleasing to God and edifies the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast, the ceremonial law is not required, which is the cleansings and dietary restrictions and the sacrificial ordinances of the scriptures. These are not required to keep because they were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrificial system, the cleansings, and the particular feasts were all fulfilled in the work on the cross of Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. In addition, Romans chapter 14, verse 5, and other scriptures teach that we should not judge nor look down on individuals who choose to keep the feasts. However, as Christians, we are not required to keep these feasts, for they are under the umbrella of the ceremonial portion of the law versus the moral portion of the law, which is required by Christians to keep. This is the teaching on Jesus Christ and the Jewish feasts, part 2, point number 4, the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, happens 50 days after the Passover. The word Pentecost means 50. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 16 states, "Even unto the mall after the seventh day shall ye number 50 days." The Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, has historical implications, as tradition teaches that this is the day when God gave the Jewish people the Torah, following Moses' descent from Mount Sinai. The Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, is also the Feast of Harvest, where the children of Israel would further give their dedication of the harvest unto the Lord in acknowledgement that He is their provider and He will maintain and sustain all their needs. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, has prophetical implications also, that on the day of the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, the Holy Spirit descended and the church was born, according to Acts chapter 2. The church was established on this day when God poured out His Holy Spirit and 3,000 Jews responded to Peter's sermon of the gospel. The Feast of Pentecost speaks to the descent of the Holy Spirit, which speaks to power. Point number 5, the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, which is called Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, found in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 24. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets, and holy convocation. This Feast of Trumpets has historical implication, as the Feast of Trumpets is called the Jewish New Year. This Feast of Trumpets was traditionally known as the day when all living things are judged. It is the beginning of the Jewish New Year in the fall. This Feast of Trumpets has prophetic implications, as the Feast of Trumpets points to the gathering of the church and may speak to the rapture. The rapture of the church is when Jesus Christ will come back for the church to take the church home with him just before the great tribulation and the rise of the Antichrist. John chapter 14 verses 1 through 3 state, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." This rapture of the church is found in detail in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. The rapture of the church is associated in Scripture with trumpets and celebration announcing the coming of royalty, the coming of the king. The Feast of Trumpets speak to the gathering of the church, the rapture of the church, which is yet to be fulfilled. This Feast of Trumpets also speaks to the fulfillment of the birth of Christ. Jesus Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets, the Jewish New Year, the announcement of royalty, the announcement of the king. Scripture teaches in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 5, that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was a priest of the course of Abiah. This teaches that during the course of Abiah, during a certain month of the year, dated by the course of Abiah, Zacharias would fulfill his priestly duties. We know this from 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse number 10. These listings of the 24 courses of the priests found in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 indicates that on the eighth month, Abijah would fulfill his priestly duties. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, according to Luke chapter 1, was visited by Gabriel the angel and foretold that his wife Elizabeth shall have a son. John the Baptist, as a result, according to Luke chapter 1, was born in the spring during the month of the course of Abijah. This speaks directly to the birth of Christ, as the angel Gabriel in that same chapter, Luke chapter 1, verses 24 through 36, visited Mary, the mother of Christ, 6 months later to speak of her pending birth to come. As a result, Jesus Christ was born 6 months after John the Baptist, according to Scripture, John the Baptist in the spring, and Jesus Christ 6 months later, the 1st of October, the beginning of the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets, which is called Rosh Hashanah. Jesus Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets, fulfilling his entrance into the world with the blowing of trumpets as the King of Kings. There is further scriptural evidence that Jesus Christ was born on the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the first month, the first day of the month, as the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 13, states that Noah became 600 years of age in the first month, the first day of the month. This is the day that the later scriptures will call the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. So according to Genesis chapter 8, this is the day of Noah's birthday, and it is the same day that Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. This was, again, Noah's official birthday, and it became the new birth of the earth after the flood. Jesus Christ was born on the first day of the first month, which is the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Point number six, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement has historical implications. The Day of Atonement is found in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This Day of Atonement, called Yom Kippur, has historical implications. The Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, first took place after Moses returned from his second trip to Mount Sinai with the replacement set of tablets containing the Ten Commandments. As we remember, he had broken the original set when he returned for the first time to discover the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf rather than worshiping God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. This Day of Atonement, this Yom Kippur, happens 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets. During these 10 days are days of repentance, which is called the days of awe. These days of repentance are days that the children of Israel would seek the Lord with fastings and prayers, and on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day, in culmination, the priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat, symbolically transferring the sin of the people to the scapegoat, and the scapegoat would be led off a cliff in the wilderness. This was symbolic for the sins of the children of Israel being atoned for and transferred from the people to the scapegoat. This Day of Atonement has prophetic implications, as on this day it speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ taking our sins upon himself. According to Isaiah chapter 53, he bore the sins of the world. This Day of Atonement also has further prophetic implications as it points to the second coming of Christ and the gathering of the Jewish remnant. Jesus Christ will fulfill his second coming on the Day of Atonement 7 years after the beginning of the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, there will be the rise of the Antichrist, culminating in the Battle of Armageddon. And at the Battle of Armageddon, according to Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ will return for his second coming with the saints to put down the armies of the Antichrist instantaneously and in a moment's notice by fire raining down from heaven. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, will also speak prophetically as the children of Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced. They will repent of their sins as they receive Jesus Christ as Messiah. This is a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and Romans chapter 11. This Day of Atonement speaks to the second coming of Christ, which is yet to be fulfilled. Point number 7, the Feast of Tabernacles. This Feast of Tabernacles, found in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 34. The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. This Feast of Tabernacles has historical meaning, as the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, it's called in Scripture, commemorates how the children of Israel slept and lived in booths during their exodus from Egypt. Scripture teaches in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 42 through 43, "Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." This Feast of Tabernacles not only reminds the children of Israel that God had them dwell in booths throughout the wilderness experience, it also speaks to the fact that God was able to sustain them, to protect them, to provide for them, as he was their shelter, as they were delivered from the land of Egypt. This Feast of Tabernacles has prophetic implications, as the Feast of Tabernacles speaks to the Lord's promise that he will once again tabernacle or dwell with his people when he returns to reign over the world. Scripture teaches in Micah that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This particular promise includes that the Lord will bring universal peace as the Prince of Peace comes to reign. As a result, this Feast of Tabernacles is a fulfillment that the Lord will tabernacle or dwell with his people and bring universal peace. Jesus Christ, as the Prince of Peace, will bring universal peace and dwell with his people at the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the Great Tribulation. These particular feasts have historical implications that were fulfilled in the Scriptures and have prophetic implications that have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled. The Feast of Passover was fulfilled, speaks to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, as he was crucified on the feast of Passover. The feast of unleavened bread was fulfilled, speaks to the burial of Christ, as he was buried on the feast of unleavened bread. The feast of first fruits, which happens on the first Sunday after Passover, was fulfilled as Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where the Holy Spirit descended with great power and the church was established. The Feast of Trumpets was fulfilled as Jesus Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah. The Feast of Trumpets is yet to be fulfilled as the gathering of the church or the rapture will take place, quite possibly on the Feast of Trumpets, just before the Great Tribulation and the rise of the Antichrist. The Day of Atonement will quite possibly be fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the Great Tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon. And the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled at the end of the Great Tribulation as Jesus Christ inaugurates the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of peace on the earth, as the Prince of Peace brings universal peace and tabernacles or dwells with his people. These three spring feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, have been fulfilled in the scriptures. The Feast of Pentecost has been fulfilled in the scriptures. And the fall feasts of trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled to the day according to the scriptures. This is the teaching on Jesus Christ and the Jewish feasts, part 2. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.